Thank you. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Well, it's a privilege to be here. I came along with my daughter, Andrea, down there. She's my companion on driving. I was born and raised in Bolivia, in a small little town down there. I didn't know any about computers, cell phones, or TVs, or internet, probably until I was 15 or 17. The mercy of the Lord took me to different places and even countries, and I ended in Canada, where I married, and then we went back in 1993 to the service of the Lord in Bolivia, and now we have four daughters from the 21 to 14. Don't ask me more details because I forgot about the number. And recently, we came back to Canada in furlough, but our brother Ted contacted me, I can't remember how long ago, and I didn't know where was this Ridgeville in North Carolina, but before I thought, I said yes, and after I thought, oh my goodness, I don't know where I'm going. Well, anyway, it's a great privilege to be here with you. The Lord has been merciful to us in all those years in Bolivia. Since that time, and 20 years ago, 21, we have involved in five different main areas of ministry. First, I was teaching and preaching across Bolivia, and then I started a camp down there, camp activity, and then board ministry, and then camp, is preaching and teaching camp, both ministry, radio ministry, the last one. So I will show you a little bit of give you an idea of these areas, and then I will have a time if any of you have a question, maybe seeing some pictures and I didn't explain well, or you want to know more about. I not promise that I will give you the answer, but I'll try. Okay? So, can we put up the light or something? Maybe so. It will help to see. This is Santa Cruz, Bolivia, where we live. It's 2 million people down there. And then the first is this training seminars that I usually travel across Bolivia to teach. To teach others how to teach in churches, elders, deacons, Sunday school teachers, preachers, youth leaders, all kinds of people that come to our seminars for 2.5 days, and then after that we send them home with some good material that they can teach their own churches. The second activity is about the camp, Zion Camp in Santa Cruz. Actually, the camp is located 35 kilometers, like 16 miles outside the city of Santa Cruz. And the camp is open all year round. We have facilities to have over 200 children. But we not only we have children, we have young people's camp, we have family camp, we do have a couples camps, we have different camp for all ages. And at the camp, it was a group of children, especially children that they were coming every weekend at the camp. And with that group of children that they were attending at the camp, they were bringing their mothers later on, and we established a church. Yeah. So this is all camp activities down there. We have a camp that is 3 acres or hectares or something, but anyway, it's 30,000 square meters. And then we have all the facilities down there for camps. And it's a great great place the Lord provided for tons of young people and children. That's the main auditorium that we have. This is 20 meters long by 13 meters wide. And in one of the sides is the boys' dorm, and the other side the girls' dorm. And this is unfinished. It's planned to be a basketball, a kind of coliseum for the people. So the third area is the Beni Missionary Tribe. Beni is a province of Bolivia. With the help of Friends in Action International, they help us to build this boat. We heard too that there was another flood coming, and we're gonna be prepared. No, it's we're using this. The main part here is where we have our devotional time or eating times, and then the bathroom, showers, or cooking is in this area, and all dorms is at the top. And the tanks down there are clean water and shower the other tank. And we have this as a ham radio for emergency. And the plan is to cover this part here with a rail because people like to go and sit up there. This is the last team that we have from all over the United States, St. Louis, especially Chicago and Michigan. And what we do is we visit villages along the river. One of the tributary of the Amazon. I put this picture here because I mentioned, I think, to Ted to pray for this doctor, Placido, and his wife, Tony. Both our doctor has been with us in different teams. He was in jail for 4 weeks. He's out now, and I talked to him today. He's doing well. He's a very good surgeon. He does a lot of surgeries, even when we are in the river. They have two children, Jose and Emily, that they usually go and help us as translator when we need. So keep praying for Dr. Plassey. This is how they build their houses, because the water rise on the river, so they want to keep dry, so they build. Because it's part of the jungle part, there's a lot of wild animals, and it's a border with Brazil. There are some militaries there that give us the opportunity to preach the gospel as well. We don't baptize many people because there are not so many Christians. Of the 13 villages that we visit, there are only 3 churches there. This is our time of devotional. This is what the houses look like. And we take some of the used clothes and we gave to the people. We provide for them free as well. I go as dentist. We don't do any filling because of time, but we just pull out. And then I put this is my oldest daughter here translating for this doctor, Ernie. He just lived here in Winston-Salem. So I'm seeing him tonight. He want to go back with another team this coming June. And this couple here is from St. Louis. They provide us a lot with medicine, antibiotic, Tylenols, parasite medicine, vitamins, antibiotics, and a lot of prenatal vitamin as well. We have the opportunity to present the gospel and Bible stories in every village. This is my youngest daughter, another trip too, helping the dentist. All is related to medical. The medical team is just an opportunity so people can listen to us and listen to the gospel. There's another group of guys. This is how they stand the children in the river bend as they say goodbye. So you see the river is just way up there at the back. Our boat is here. So these buildings, they don't have any place for us to use it to attend. So you see a doctor attending down there, another one here, and another one on this side. And we have these tables and chairs and benches are from the boat. So this is our tables from the boat as well, and we have the medicine there. So this is when they don't have any. We don't encounter many serious cases, sometime, but not often. When we cannot get it with the big boat, we just gotta use a small one. The other things we take is reading glasses. And they are not used ones, they are brand new that we take from here, like those ones at Walmart or in other places. And we gave them a test. We gave them a test. So we gave them the glasses that they need. Another Bible story down there. Preparing for the lunch tomorrow. We took the clothes off of the alligator and see if there was a meat in under, and I was good. So if you go down there, you will have the taste probably some of these days of piranha. Down there. What we try to do is eat them before they eat us. This is another group where they were attending there. More Bible stories, different places, attending medical attention, teaching again the Bible stories, helping the dentist here. Having a good time, those guys. And then the next one is a church planting, the Zion Church. In March, we started this building project because a group of people was coming to the camp every weekend. Now they want to establish as a church, and they want to take over the camp. So we said them, now this place will be a camp, and we will help you guys to have your own place. So the Lord provide, and then we buy this property close by the camp, and we help them with the building. And this is, after a month or so, we're working, this team from Canada arrived. And they will help us to finish the roofing. And then we start with them the wall. And they were there 2 weeks. There were 12 of them. And we hired another 6. So we were 20 people working every day for 2 weeks. And the Lord helped us to finish all the wall. And they left when the church building was like that. And then, and this is how it looks inside. There is, and then another team arrived. Mainly the girls there. They were helping with the church people and the boys. They want to paint it, and we're going to put the floor and fix the doors and windows as well. So we start working that down there, and I start putting the floor, the painting, fixing. And they left when the church was looking. This after another 2 weeks. So we have here the first dedication service that night. And that day, in the day, we have 12 people that got baptized. And then the next day of the dedication service, we have the first conference for elders and deacons and full-time workers. I don't know if you know, it's Phil Parsons from CMML and Phil Barnes from MSC. And this is Phil Train from, it's a missionary in Bolivia. And this is Gary McBride. And this one here is another missionary, Jürgen Schull, that probably you're praying for them as well. So this was a group of guys that show up for the conference. There were 76. Now, the last one is about the radio ministry. You probably heard that 3 years ago we started with this new project. But last year in October, somebody cut the anchors and then the tower fell in the night. I don't know if the guy wanted to steal something from us or he was mad of the messages of the gospel that we were preaching, but the tower ended on those trees there. And we start taking apart and taking out of the trees there and tangle all the wires everywhere. And most of them didn't work. The most expensive cable, this is 1-inch copper coax cable. And that was so expensive, it was damaged completely. But the Lord's grace and provision, we started rebuilding the tower and then repainting here at the camp. And we start setting back again. So we hire these four guys, and because we do everything by hand, not like we didn't have any crane that goes and put all the things, but we hire four guys here, and every piece of this is 20 feet long, and each corner down there is 1.5 inch of steel galvanized. Piece by piece. And then now the tower was looking like that. We are in the last piece putting up. And now it looks like that. And then the guys are setting up the dish there. And where at the top is the warning light. But as soon after I put the warning light, it burned up. So I'm looking for volunteer to go and change it. But I don't have it yet, so I can't get it any tonight if it is one more. And then I changed the anchor as well because they were too lower. So we put it higher. Now it's 10 feet high. And we changed even the cables. We put a thicker now cables to all of this. And it's a lot much better now. And this is how the tower is ascending. Those guys tried to go and change the bolt. But just made it until there only. And again, so this is a picture from the tower and the direction of Santa Cruz, 30 kilometers of this size, probably around 20 miles. But we have hundreds of people now moving in around the camp in the tower. And with our radio, we cover half of the city of Santa Cruz, where are 2 million people. So this is a part of our equipment, the transmitter there, a computer that controls sound system, mixer, and you don't see the rest of this. But I want you to look at, this is a little radio. I think I do have another one. Oh, yes, I have it here. It is a little radio that is solar powered. We don't need battery or plug into the wall. And it's tuned only in our own station. So people can change it to listening another radio. But I will tell you some story, just one story. I said to Ted because he doesn't want me to go over. So I'll tell you one story of these little radios. So a lot of children come to the camp. But we don't give to the children, we give to the mothers. When the children bring to the mother, we give them one radio, if we have available. So we give to this family, and they took home the radio. And her husband never came. We didn't know the husband. And one day, the guy went to drink and finished his money down there at the bar. So at 2 in the morning or 3 in the morning, they kick him out of the bar because he didn't have more money to buy liquor or beers to continue drinking. So he came home and he was mad with himself because he didn't have money. So he was looking for the machete to cut his wife or children or something. So when he was doing that, looking for the machete, they fled. The wife got up, took the children out of the bushes and hide. Well, the guy was by himself. They're angry with himself too, because he didn't have money to go buy and drink. So as he was looking at the house that's down there, he noticed that this little radio, now that little piece that is here that's down there, is the antenna. Usually the people hang this with a nail somewhere. He noticed that the little radio was behind the door hanging down there. So he went, because I've seen them before, listen to the radio. So he went and grabbed the radio and started listening. And I told you that he can change it. He got to listen to us, you know. It was like 2 or 3 in the morning. We usually have music, soft music, that you can understand the message. And we have a clip of 30 second to a minute messages about salvation. And he said that it was the second song. I don't know how drunk he was. Don't ask me. I don't know how real it was or something, whatever it was. He said he came to the camp to tell us the story. That's why I'm telling you. He said that the second song that he was listening, he fell onto his knees and started praying. If you learn in some word, he said, forgive me this. I'm a bad guy, a bad man, and this and that. And he said, it did something that happened to me. I don't know what happened, but it did happen to me. But he went and tried to look for his wife, but it was dark, so he had to wait until daylight. And then went to look for his wife and children. And they found them in the grandma's house. So he went and said to them, you know what? I'm a different person. I don't know what happened, but I have changed. So the wife said, yeah, until you have again money to go and buy and drink. He said, no, it's real. I'm a different. So it happened the first week. He went to work. He brought the money back home. He gave to his wife. The wife started saying, it is true. It's something different. Start treating the kid better and everything. So they wait a month. And he said to them, to the wife and kid, we have to go and find where the radio is. I want to meet the guy that was preaching that night or was putting this song. So they came to the camp, and the family, 4 kids, the wife, and husband. And I was there that Saturday afternoon. But when he was telling the story to the brother in charge, Marcelo went and said to me, you got to come and listen to this story. I said, I'm busy. I don't know what I was doing, but I told him I'm busy. You listen and you tell me later. It's a lot of these stories later. He said, no, because you're not going to believe me. You got to hear from him. So I went and the guy told me this story that I just told you. And now they are attending the Zion Church with all the family. This is one of the many stories that we have. So that's why we need the studio that we plan to build in February. So the Lord is using the radio. So this is the next satellite dish that we have installed, we want to install at the camp. Now, this is the project that we have for the studio. Looks fancy in the outside. It's a drawing from the architect, but I don't know if I will ever have like this. Anyway, the inside part will look like that. We have the control studio here and the recording studio the other side. We have the reception here and a kind of dining room here or living room here, and a little kitchen there, and a bed there for those ones that are working late in a bathroom. So this is the project that we have for February. So I want to leave you with 2 prayer requests. One is about this letter radios that we want to keep buying this and taking down there, and it makes a difference in a lot of people. And the next one is about this studio that, Lord willing, we're going to start in February. A man from Mansfield, Missouri, is willing to lead a team, and I explained to him too as well, so we are recruiting people to go, and we have already 4 to go. So we are at this one. So this is the family, minus 1. The oldest one was working. She's a flight attendant and usually travels a lot and never home. So the rest of, but all the girls are home now with us in Canada. So we have come to help them. There's the Andrea that is here, and Jessica, and Elizabeth. Jessica is just finishing high school there, and we want to see them get into college if it's necessary or something. Okay, so this is, I have a few minutes more. I want to take any questions or anything that you'd like to know more of the ministry that we are involved. Oh, I did a good job, or I did a bad job that nobody understood either one. Oh, man, I won't tell you now because you may change your mind if you want to go and change the ball. 78 meters high. I don't know. I know you guys work in feet down here. Time 3,250-some. But we'll take your harness. Got to put a harness here. There was a brother from one church that went to him and asked for help, medical help. So he did take it, but when he opened the kidney, this is what he told me, discovered that it was well infected and damaged. So he took it out. And after waking up and knowing all of the guy, the brother, supposed to be Christian, and the brother got mad at him for not letting him know that he was going to do that. So he kind of sued him for some kind of money. He's still good. The guy is still good. He didn't understand that he saved his life, but he hired a lawyer, and this lawyer went half and half with him, and went in the wrong directions. And they were asking for a lot of money that he didn't have, so he ended in jail. And past 4 weeks there, but the Lord mercy, he's out now, and they're still in trial. They're still getting papers together and everything. And he told me today that hopefully, he said, we'll be all cleared up by December.
We
work. I don't know if you notice, and most pictures that I show is in the lowland. Bolivia is half and half. Half is the Andes Mountain, the mountains that come all the way from Argentina to Venezuela, and they are the people that have different belief and the Pachamama and animism and everything. We call Cambas as the lowlanders. There is the mainly Catholic, but nominal. They say that they're Catholic, but usually they are not going to a Catholic church or something. So it's kind of, we base with the idols, whatever they both related to the Catholic people. They are open to hear us, the gospel. It's a little bit hard to understand about the just Jesus Christ and not Mary and the other that do in order to have salvation.
What's the cost of the radio?
Okay, I'll be back. The company that is making is Galcon International in Canada. But they don't sell to us directly. They sell to Transworld Radio. You heard of Transworld Radio, right? Transworld Radio is the people that I work with. So we get it from Transworld Radio as well. But the cost is $20. But if we order like 100, they said we will match another 100. So if I order 200, they will match another 200. So actually, I end up buying for $10 each letter radio. But now the new one is coming with the Bible in it. So not only that it will be a radio, but it will be a device that you can listen to the radio as well. The Bible as well. So it will be a much better.
How big was the cable that was cut?
Oh, man. How long or how thick?
How thick?
Oh, my. 3/8? What is work here? Man. Listen. Half of this, my fingers. No, I don't know. But it's not a thick one of this. Half of this. We don't put too thick the cable because it will be too heavy in the whole tower. So they have 36 cable. In each side, 12. In the three sizes. So by the adding all those weight, it's a lot of weight for the tower as well. So we try to maintain thick enough, but not as big enough to damage the good one. Actually, I'm not an engineer. So I'm a preacher. I don't know why I'm in all of these things. I learned over the years not to say the Lord no. Every time that I said no, I don't want to do something, I ended doing. So please, learn from me. Don't take the long way. Just take it the easy way. Not that resistant, what do we call, some inconvenience, especially the medical team that go with the instruments and medicines, and they want to get the hands on this stuff. And last year that there were 5 very good eye doctors that came from England. I didn't know, they didn't know, they sent all their staff first in order to arrive there. And that was a big mistake. And they confiscated all of this. It was like $300,000 equipment. There was a lot of robotics equipment just for surgeries, you know, eye surgeries, and a lot of materials that they were going to use with us. So in one sense, the government said that they help the poor, but on the other hand, just prevent those ones that they want to help them. We don't have a really close opposition from the government, like confront them or something. We don't, but they prevent for taking the New Testaments. This one. It takes so long to get, and sometimes we don't get it finally. So it is getting more and more tight. Yeah, especially in the big cities, yeah. Usually the families that come down from the high mountain, and they come with 4 or 5 children. And they don't have any training for any trade, any work. So when they come in the big cities and they can't find work, so they have to support their family. So they get into that crime, so that easy money, so that easy way of getting something. But it's mainly a night or late in night in some places.
A lot of drug related.
Okay, so I don't want to make those guys asleep here. Are you ready to go to bed? No, not yet? Okay, well, I will finish with this. It will be, I don't, I try to do my best in teaching children, but I am not very good at it. Always I have a problem with it. I do my best in keeping you guys awake. It's okay? But if you guys go to sleep, do not snore so those other ones can hear, yeah? Okay. I have a few minutes. In your Bible, Galatians 6. You know, usually I heard about this passage many times. I heard preachers. Oh, I do too. Teach, and we always use them to tell especially our children or young people or others about don't do that because you will be punished or you will receive what you sow. Verse 7, Galatians 6:7, we know this passage, you know. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for wherever a man sow, that he will also reap. For he who sow for the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but who sow for of the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Usually we talk about the bad side. Don't do that because whatever you sow, you will reap it. But you know, there is a good side of this thing. It's sowing good. There is this down there. Well, those one that sow for the flesh will get it. But those one that will sow for the Spirit, they will get it too. So we try to not scare people at the church or young people or children about don't do that, but we should encourage people in order to sow for the everlasting life, for good things, that down the road they will get it, whatever they have. So, I grew up in the jungle. And we usually were eating all kinds of fruits, from bananas to oranges, grapefruit, and all you name it, all those tropical fruits. And always my mom said, you know, if you want to eat again, you got to plant. But we didn't like it as a children, because it takes so long to get a fruit, right? So many years you got to wait in order to eat one of these fruits. We always like to go and get it when it was ripe, when it was ripe, what was good to eat. And then she repeated again and said, no, if you want to eat it again, you got to plant. Now, looking back, I understand. It takes a lot of time to wait for this little seed to come in a plant and later on produce or give fruit. And you may be not around when this plant will have the fruit. Or you may be gone somewhere and other people will have to water their plant in order to keep growing. Or maybe other people will be trimming this one or fixing or putting some medicine or something around in order to maintain alive and produce. So it's a lot of people involved. The first one put the seed, and then the other one taking care, watering, caring, and all, until the last one. And then you arrive, and the little plant has already this all nice and good fruit. And you say, wonderful. And you enjoy this fruit, and you pick up as many as you want, and you eat it, and you carry home some of it. And you never think how long it took for this plant. And you never think, too, how many people has been involved caring for this plant. And you never think how long it took for that plant to have that fruit. You don't care about all the things. The only that is most interesting now is the fruit. And it's ready to eat. And it's sweet. And it's, and the smell and the aroma and it's all over. That's exactly what the Christian life as well. You know, most Christians, we like to see, we measure success by the things that we see. If we not accomplish something, we usually said we not in the right path. Too hard, or we not getting anywhere, so let's give up, and let's change, and let's give up, go, forget it. But you don't know if you are the one that are planting the seed. You don't know if you are the one that they are watering the plant. You don't know if you are the guys or the person that go and cut and trim it down there to produce fruit. You always like to go and pick up the fruit. This is who we are in Christian. You know, as I think about the radio, and I tell you one story only of the radio. But I don't know how many people are listening more. And as I go in those riverboat trap there, not everybody accept the Lord. But I have to think, well, Lord, probably I'm planting. Probably I'm watering this when somebody has done something. And somebody else will come later on in the future and we just will collect all the fruit ready. That is. Now the next one in the 5 minutes is the next verse that they really encourage me and should do to you tonight. And it said verse 9. What is it, brother? Could you help me? 9.
Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary.
Let us not lose heart. Mine down here, while I'm reading the International, let us not grow weary while doing good. You know it's good, man. Knowing that the one that knows what we're doing and how are we doing is writing how are we doing, it will in due time will give us, it will repay, it will pay us, it will give us that reward. So you probably won't see many results in your lifetime, or maybe you will see some, or maybe and invest in your life in this kid down here, teaching them, and you don't see much result on them, and you say, well, you know. No. Let us not grow weary while doing good. We usually go depressed. We go weary. We just say, well, nobody notice what I am doing. Nobody cares what I am. Let's forget it. But listen to the second phrase. For in due season, my said, in due season we shall reap. When is that, brother? What your Bible said? How it said there?
For in due time.
When is due time? Sorry? When is due time? It's when you retire? Is when you give a work? When is due time? You know it's in God's time. Maybe you won't see the result. You have been praying. I don't know. The brother said, it's the first time I'm here. And the brother Ned was saying, we always pray for you. And you know, really encourage us because we are a team. And you don't know too, and you will not know what impact has done your prayer until we are in heaven. That's due season. You don't know how much will do your offering. That's in due season. You don't know. And you probably will not know in this side of the world. So I said I will repeat what the Bible said, do not grow weary in doing good. Let's not grow. Let's not get tired of doing good. You probably will see, well, those guys in oil is doing great there and everything. He's whatever, brave guy or something. This, I am not more than you. Not. The things that we are there and you hear is just the same things as we there and here working as a team. And the one that will pay in due season, it will know our hearts and will repay as he knows how we done. So, do not lose heart. In due season, we shall reap. If we do not lose heart. So probably you are in this process of giving up something that you had teach or taught, or you're working out or giving out or something this and that for a long time, and you have not seen any result. I encourage you to keep doing, continue, and in due season we shall reap. Let's pray. Lord, thank you once again for your words that we find encouragement. We find something that encourages us to continue to be faithful to you. Please help our brothers and sisters in this assembly here, and in the work that they're doing, not only in the community but around the world. Bless them and bless their work and their life and their health as well, so they keep doing for your glory and honor. We pray the same as those brothers now, even in the rivers, those that they hear your word, those that are the church, are the camp, and different activities, and even the radio that you use for your glory. All of these things. And bring all honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I brought some of the pictures of the family. If some of you would like to have it later on, I put at the table here. And you guys can play dart with this too. None. Thank you.